You're listening to Ben Davis Giants Football on WBDG, Indianapolis.
Hey, let's go! It's
going to be fourth down. Last play of the game, barring a penalty.
It all comes down to this.
Victory will not be handed to you.
Tom Allen's jumping up and down, getting everybody into it. One play.
Number one, Ben Davis Football is physical. Number one, Ben Davis Football is hit.
Who's going to go home?
All you seniors, will you let this be taken away from you? Don't sorry. No way.
You must go seize the
moment.
It's going
to come down to the signal. Touchdown, Ben Davis. Touchdown, Ben Davis. The Giants win.
I am honored every day to put on something that says Ben Davis Football. I am honored.
All right, welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to Inside Ben Davis Football. I am your new host, Corey Raving, taking over for LaVon Dern, who went on and graduated. I am joined by Johnny Easter of WBDG. How you doing, sir?
Doing well, Corey. How are you?
I'm all right. And ready, I'm also
ready to get another season of Ben Davis Football underway.
Oh, I'm excited for that. I'm also joined by the main man, Ben Davis's head coach, Mike Kirshner. How you doing, Coach?
Doing great. Great to be here, being on the west side here, 10th Street. Sitting in a nice air-conditioned place. I know we're not allowed to say the place we're at, or
but we're allowed to say Arby's.
Or we're allowed to say Arby's.
Yeah, we're at Arby's.
And I'm having curly fries. I think everybody will come out and join us.
We are also being just joined now by Jeff Robinson of the Flyer. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. How about you?
I'm all right, sir. Well, first things first, Coach. How's the offseason going?
Offseason was very good. We gave them, as you know, we finished late, which was a good thing. And so we gave him 2 weeks off after the state finals game there on Thanksgiving weekend, and then which took us up to about the last week before Christmas break. And we actually started our winter program like December 19th. We brought him in that Monday, Tuesday after school and kind of set the tone to get him back in the weight room. You know, when you go that long, you have to give him a little bit of time to recover. Hit the weights really hard in January, February. Had our annual Ben Davis weightlifting contest and won the speed competition and the strength competition. So I was real pleased because we didn't have as many weeks building up to that because our season lasted so long. So thought our kids responded pretty well to that. Got going in the spring with our 6 a.m.s. We were averaged over 100 kids at our 6 a.m. workouts, and that's really just a couple grades. So that's really good. I was pleased they were willing to come in Mondays and Fridays, and then continue with our lifting on Tuesday, Thursday. We got done testing our strength clubs in May for the year. We're the third strongest team in Ben Davis history, which is saying a lot when you think about the number of strength teams that come through our school. Because we started off our winter workouts, as being one of the weakest to start off at that point. And again, I've been the head coach for the last 9 years, been here 16. This will be my 16th, I should say. So I kind of got an idea what it's supposed to look like as far as strength. With the help of Kevin Vanderbush and the way he runs the program, we were able to take a team that I thought would be really one of the bottom 10 strength-wise to one of the top three. So that just tells you the amount of work the kids put into it, buying into the program. We've had a great summer. Went to Bishop Delahan camp, took over 120 kids to Bishop Delahan camp. Everybody bought in. Everybody got there. Had a great camp there. We've had a great July. Co-captains was absolutely awesome. Kids busted their butt 11 nights. We lost one night because of storms, and have done some good things. And now we're on the field practicing. So we've kind of come full circle and have made some minor adjustments and tweaked some things in the off season, but we're happy.
You finally got that elusive state title for Ben
Davis.
Yeah,
it was elusive. It was kicking me in the butt.
Now that you've gotten to the top, how do you plan to stay there, especially without that great class of 2015?
Yeah, it's a really good question. I'm gonna tell you a little story here. We won the game on that Friday night, and teams have all kind of packed up the buses, and Carmel's sitting in their buses, and Ben Davis is sitting in their buses, and they're kind of waiting for two people to show up, and it's me and Kevin Wright. And me and Kevin Wright struck up about a half-hour conversation just standing there in the hall, and you're thinking everybody wants to go, you know, and he's, you know, he was congratulating me. He was very happy and very genuine and sincere in his comments, but he said something to me. He goes, you know, when we finally wanted it worn in 2003, I believe, is when Kevin finally got his first one while he was there. He said, Coach Delahan said something to me that I never forgot, and I'm going to share with you what he said to me. He said, you know, I'm happy you got your first one. He goes, but it's a lot tougher to stay there than it is to get there. And that's kind of stuck in my crawl ever since November, whatever. And I'm thinking, oh, my God, you know, I just want to enjoy this for a few. And then and you get to thinking, and it is. You know, we lose a great group of seniors, you know, a great group of kids like Kyle and Justin, Brandon, and Asmar. We a really great group of kids, that Norman, that we just love. But we've got a great group of kids back. We got 46 seniors again. I got 50 juniors. I got 60 sophomores. We got 80-plus freshmen, and we got the right pieces. I mean, we really do. We got the right kids. We can do some good things again, but it also takes, as you know, I mean, Jeff, we've talked about this multiple times, it takes a little bit of something that you never know if you have, and that has nothing to do with speed, strength, quickness, intelligence. It's that little something that bonds everybody together, that won't allow themselves to be separated. And everybody always wants to talk about the run. You know, we made that run in the tournament. You know, we came from behind multiple times. It looked like we were down and out against Warren, down and out against Carmel. We are Center Grove. We spot Carmel 17. You know, and I can share another story that'll make you laugh on that one. But. The reality of it is tough, and we have the right athletes. Do we have it? And that's what we don't know, and we won't know. It's gonna it's a process, and it's gonna take quite a few weeks before we know if it's there.
Just to follow up on that it factor, did several of those guys were 2 and 3 year starters along the way? Did you see that it factor in that group at a younger age?
Oh, no question. We saw them as freshmen. I mean, and Kyle, our quarterback, never played freshman football, but watching Justin Brandon play freshman football and Asmar Bilal play freshman football, we saw it. And I'll be honest with you, in our current sophomores, we see the same thing. The difference is, and I've not held my tongue on this, the difference is the current sophomores that we have now may be the most athletic group I have seen in my 15-plus years here. No question. But if they don't grow up, they'll never see juniors. I mean, that's just the reality. And I've not minced any words with my parent meetings. I've not held back in anything I've said, that the thing that will hold them back from greatness is them. You know, it won't be for lack of strength. Around us, those sophomores are so talented. When they walk between the lines, they're all football. They're all focused. When they walk off those lines, there's nothing. There's whatever, coach, whatever. I don't care. And then they got to get it. The sophomore class had it. They were mature. They were intelligent. They understood that sometimes they didn't like what we said, but by God, they were going to do it because that's the way it had to be done. And so we'll see. We'll see. It's a good question.
You know, I think back as you're kind of talking, I think back to the Indianapolis 500 pre-race. And there's something. It's out there on YouTube. You can look it up. And it's Dario Franchitti. Mm-hmm. And he's out there, and he's talking about what a tough track it is and how simple it looks, but how tough of a track it is. You know, how each of the four corners, they're supposedly equal, but they're not. You know, how everything just looks so simple, and so you win one, and then immediately you start thinking about, what am I going to do to win two?
Oh, I've thought that.
and you know, this is something Ben Davis hasn't experienced for a while, going in as not only the, you know, I think you have been the number one team going mm-hmm. into the season, but having the state championship ring, you know, Corey Clark on Twitter, our former WBDG staff member now at Indiana State, doing great things down there, but he asked, and this is I think kind of related to that, how is this team going to handle that hype of being the state champion?
Well, we're constantly, and I think our coaching staff does an unbelievable job in more ways than one, but we're constantly reminding them that as neat as it was last year, and a lot of you experienced it firsthand on the field, you know, as players or as just kids on the team, as neat as that was, that's not you. You've got to find your own identity. You got to find your own niche. What some things Kyle did well, our quarterbacks may not be able to do as well, but they can do other things better, differently. And we've got to find that niche and figure out what works best within the scheme. And, you know, we've tweaked some things and we've made some adjustments and we found some things. Our staff's worked really hard in the offseason to kind of fit some things differently that might help our kids succeed because their talents are different. Unlike Dario, where the track doesn't change, Dario's trying to figure out how to make his car change. How do I keep the downforce? How do I get tighter in the turns? How do I come off that turn and gain speed? You know what I'm saying? So it's the same thing we do.
In front of Elio.
Yeah, it's the same. It's the same thing we do as coaches. We're always looking to tweak and find what fits. So when we're going to clinics and staff meetings in the winter and in the summer, we're trying to say, all right, we're breaking down the film and maybe Chris could do this better, or maybe Story could do that better, and try to exploit the things that we do have.
All right, going to this year's team, what is the quarterback situation?
No, that's a good question. If I knew it, I'd tell you. And I'm not trying to be funny. I really don't know. We split equal reps with two guys on Friday night in our scrimmage with Westfield. We're going to probably look at do something very similar against Tech. Or maybe one guy will stand out, and he'll get most of the reps. But it really hasn't been settled. So it's not like I'm – if it was settled, I'd just tell you. I usually don't hold back. So we're just not there yet. We're still we got a junior in Ajay Cooper who's doing a good job. We had a transfer from Chicago by the name of Alfonso Howard who started at a school up in Chicago. He's a senior. He does well. And we're just kind of letting it play out.
What is the most significant difference we're going to see on the field between the 2015 Giants and the 2014 Giants that were state champs?
Well, the biggest thing, we'll start with the kicking game. I'm hoping we're just a little more consistent. Coach Swanekamp, Dan's done a great job trying to develop some things. If we return a lot of players, it's on our special teams. We played a lot of young kids, and it kind of bit us a few times on special teams. Well, they're all back, and we have a lot of depth at our special teams. So we think we're going to be significantly improved. Punter, we're in good shape. The kicker itself is up in there. We've recruited two juniors, Sean Skiles, who was played soccer last year, is just kicking footballs for us this year. Dominic Washington, who still plays soccer, and those two are kind of battling out the kickoff PAT field goal. We think they're going to be good, but they're young, they're raw, they're inexperienced. I think that's going to be pretty good. Defensively, we're going to have a few wrinkles that people aren't used to seeing from us. We needed to make some changes. Coach Williams has done a great job exploring new options and new ways of attacking people. And everybody's so spread out. You can't sit like you used to, and they get you mismatched. And Pike takes advantage of that better than anybody. And Derek Moyers, who was at Pike, is now at Warren. So, you know, he's going to take advantage of it because that's what he did when he was at Pike. And so we have to have some different schemes to kind of counter that. And then offensively, it remains to be seen. You know, there's some things we throw better with the guys we got than we did with Kyle, and there's some things we don't throw better. And because they don't have as many reps, there's going to be a period of time we have to learn and see what's good.
With this team, last year, I did a little research coming in. Last year's team set the record for pass attempts, pass completions, pass yards, total points, total plays, total yards, first downs. You had the all-time leading passer. You had, of course, one of the top 10 all-time tacklers, and Asmar Bilal. You had not one, not two, not three, not four, but five reception records set last year.
By five different individuals.
Rashawn Bond would have set the new record if it wasn't for Chris Evans, if it wasn't for True Smith, who would have had the record, if it wasn't for Story Emerson, who would have had the record, if it wasn't for Brennan Gillis, who has the record. Yeah. That's a lot of production on offense.
That's pretty amazing.
That's going away.
When you think your leading receiver for a single season all time, I believe, was Caleb Cornett in 2011 with 47 catches, and we had five guys who tied or broke that.
But before that, it went all the way back to 92.
Right. I mean, it's not even – we absolutely obliterated every passing record there was at Ben Davis. Just obliterated it. I mean, the production was phenomenal. Will you see that kind of passing production? No. All right? But that's why I said we'll be different. That doesn't make us right, doesn't make us wrong, just makes us different. And when you kind of look at all the records we set last year and what we were able to accomplish, and to be perfectly honest, our offense had to, because at times our defense was struggled. But everybody talked about our defense struggling, and I'll give Scott Wiesel credit here. Everybody talked about, man, your defense gave up 36 to Warren. Well, their defense gave up 40. Man, your defense gave up 45 to Center Grove. Their defense gave up 49. You see what I'm saying? So it wasn't like we were giving up and losing. We were everybody's defense, because the schemes of the offenses make it so tough to defend.
Yeah, you scored 313 points over your last seven games.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't even think about
That's
that.
That's like a season right there.
That's like a season for most teams.
For some teams.
That's exactly
313
right.
points over your last.
Yeah.
That's that's over 40 points a game.
Yeah.
Right, I'm not real great with math.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break and send it back to the studio for a quick 30-second break here on your Ben Davis Sports Radio Network.
How important was that text? Texting and driving. Let's not.
All righty, well, jump back to the Ben Davis Sports
Network. Realize is towards the end of the season, we had started playing a sophomore at inside linebacker, Will Pate, which allowed us in the state finals to move Asmar to free safety, which was a huge adjustment for us and a great switch that really helped us win that state championship game. And so he's one of them. And then the other one, we lose Omar Beasley. He was another really good lineman. But that's going to be filled in by another guy who played significant varsity minutes, Adrian Rice or Darius Allen. So we're feeling pretty good there. You know, is it Asmar Balah? Is it a Notre Dame kid filling in there? No. But we don't get Notre Dame linebackers very often. So the kids we got, we're real confident about. Inside now, at the defensive tackle, the one that I'm really pleased with is LaShawn Miner, who's also a basketball player. You know, he's 6'3", he's 260, he's athletic, he can run. And honestly, you know, I've already got coaches calling. He's a Division I football player. I don't know what his aspirations are, whether it be football or basketball, but he is a Division I football player. Fast, athletic, run people down in the scrimmage against Westfield. They ran a jet sweep to the outside. He turned and ran him down on the sideline. Here's a defensive tackle running down their running back. Those guys will be good up front. We've had a really nice move in at D end by the name of Kalen Guillory. He's from Shortridge. He's a Ball State commit. He's 6'5", 240. He's really athletic. The other end will probably be held down by Carlin Coleman, who's 6'1", 210. Physical, smart, and then the other end that will rotate in with those two is Big O, Asizi Atumwa, all right, and Asizi is 6'6", 215. So, I mean, we're really large. I mean, it's the tallest Ben Davis team I've ever seen. On the offensive line, you got Pompey Coleman at one tackle who's 6'5". You got Ahmad Malone at one guard who's 6'4". You got Jaleel Brewer at a tackle who's 6'3". You got Assad Quick at center who's 6'1", 330. I mean, we're really tall, really big. I mean, it's as tall and as long and as lean a team as we've had since I've been here. We've never had linemen quite like this. So we'll be okay. But again, Friday night will be their first real varsity game where they all got to step up and play. So it'll be interesting to see how they do.
John mentioned in the first half of the show about how that you scored so many points offensively. You also gave up probably the most points I've seen by a state champion, including falling behind 17-0. How do you avoid those kind of situations, especially looking at that state championship game where you look down and out early?
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you a little story about that state championship game when we got down 17-0. Before the game, we get there, and it's the 4A games being played, and it's New Prairie, I believe, and our players are sitting up in the stands and kind of just got their game face on, and we're sitting in the tunnel, and I'm watching New Pal score 63, mm-hmm. 70, 77. And I turned to one of my coaches and said, who gets to the state finals and gives up 77 points? All right. So now, wait a minute, it gets better. So we're sitting there, and I got the headsets on, and Carmel scores and get a field goal, and then they score, and it's 17-0, and 8 seconds gone in the second quarter, and I got the headsets, and I said, fellas, it's us who gives up 70. Get your heads out of your butts and let's go. You know, I'm yelling at the coaches, and the coach's like, you're right, you know, because we're all kind of – but part of it was we literally put in 2 weeks an entire new defensive scheme in that we had never run. I mean, we said, all right, we got 2 weeks. We can't play them the same way the second time because they knew how to defeat us, and they beat us up doing it. I mean, they beat us up at Carmel. I mean, Kevin did an unbelievable job, and Hebert, the new code D coordinator. So we put in a new scheme. We moved personnel. We moved Asmar back. We changed how we played our ends. We changed our coverage, played a coverage we hadn't played all year. We're playing too deep. We hadn't done that all year. And the first quarter, it was like our kids – didn't believe that we were going to do what we said we were going to do. You know, the ends were still half closing and getting kicked out. And I said, no, you turn your shoulders and you run. And once we started doing it, things started happening. We forced some big turnovers. I thought it was huge getting back within three before half. And you know, right or wrong, I don't know. People may tell me I'm crazy. I felt at halftime as we were walking off field, I was watching their kids, not our kids. I was watching theirs, and they looked tired. I don't know why. I had a couple kids bent over in the middle of the field. I'm thinking, man, that don't look right. They told my kids at halftime, I said, they're sitting on the edge, push them off. And we came out and just exploded in that third quarter. And it was, and then the fake field goal just kind of set it off. So.
Yeah, well, you could just feel that side. And you know, I know we had a whole show to talk about the state game, but you could just feel the air just came out of Carmel. Just, I mean, it was like the balloon just went. This year, of course, lots of stars returning. Story Emerson's back. You talked about him. We haven't talked much about Chris Evans yet. Chris, of course, coming back, needs 21 receptions to become the all-time, actually 22 to become the all-time. That would break Scott McGowan's
record. Scotty McGowan, yeah.
And that goes back to 88.
Yep.
776 yards to become the all-time leading in yards. And then when you figure it out, 68 points, which, you know, he can knock down in a couple games, way he scores, 68 points to become the all-time leading scorer in Ben Davis history. We haven't had that, and of course, he's played a lot. That helps, too. He's played 3 years.
Right.
Talk a little bit about what he does, and, of course, he's going to Michigan, too, which going to play for Jim Harbaugh, who's, you know, somebody he's still my favorite Colt.
Okay.
I was going to put it that way. Jim Harbaugh, still my all-time favorite Colt, Captain Comeback. So he's going to Michigan to play for my all-time favorite Colt. So talk a little bit about what he brings to
well,
the table for you.
Well, Chris brings a dynamic that's not a coachable thing. Now, we coach him in scheme, where to line up, how to hold the ball. But you watch Chris run, and it always appears to me that if the guy's coming up to tackle him, he's already figured out how to make him miss, and he's looking at the next guy down. And that's – I don't know if that's the case, but that's that when you're watching him, the guy that misses, it's so nonchalant, and he's already making that – and it's you watch that long 70-yard run against Center Grove where he hit up the middle, bounced it out, cut, took off. It was – he just kept doing this. And you're just watching it on film going, there's nothing Center Grove did wrong. Those kids are we watch it every day in practice. He'll take a handoff in practice, and we're going against our good kids, and they're coming up, and I think they're pretty good, and you're getting right, and you're done. You're falling on your face, and he sidestepped you, and he's out, and it's he just brings that extra dimension that you know at any point he can change a game. I mean, with his athleticism, he can change a game. Dick Dellen used to say when James Banks was here, he goes, "We're going to be okay if we get him on the bus." And it's kind of the same way with Chris. We have a chance if we get Chris on the bus.
Coach.
You know, we got a chance because he can – it's just not a coachable thing. You know what I mean? I mean, like I said, we coach all the intangibles, but he has it. Well, and he's a great kid. He's got a great personality.
He
loves
bigger.
Life. Oh, he's gotten extremely
big. I mean,
he's over 190 pounds.
Yeah.
He cleans 335 pounds, which is unheard of for a kid that weighs 190. I mean, he's powerful. He's strong. His legs has gotten bigger. Sometimes you hit him now and we bounce. That's assuming we can get a hit on him. You know, he's just tough. He's tough to get a piece of. So he's looking forward to having a great senior year. I think Michigan got a steal. I thought the recruiting process went pretty well for him. He had a lot of Big Ten offers. Thought there'd be a little bit more, but the SEC guys tell me that I can get kids like him in the South. I said, okay, sure, maybe. I said, but I'm just telling you, I've not coached a kid. You know, and I've been around Banks and Jamie Asher, went back in my Warren days, NFL guys. He's one of the top two or three Ben Davis kids of all time. And, you think about Steve Holman, James Banks, and you probably got to throw Chris Evans into the conversation.
Well, I know Carmel was gassed at that point, but you look at that final touchdown play where he hits the hole and
it was over.
Yeah,
I don't think they were putting a whole lot of effort at that point. They were down.
Afterburners are on.
I know that losing Kyle Kastner is going to be a rough prospect for the team to be facing. Who do you think can replace Kyle Kastner in his leadership role for this season?
Well, the leadership role is right now is kind of up in the air. There's guys that are stepping up. It's Kyle wasn't a vocal leader. Kyle was a leader by example, and I guess we've got guys that do that, but you're also looking for that guy that when they speak – everybody's going to listen, and that's kind of what we're looking for right now. We don't quite have that. I think we got some good leaders in Darius Randolph and Jordan Wilkerson and Trayvon Smith and Chris Evans, LeSean Johnson, but we'll see. You know, that they're going to have to figure out how to overcome some things that don't work out real well. And, you know, when we got pounded by Carmel, the team didn't tank it. You know, I've had teams get pounded the next day, you know they're done. I mean, you can just look in their eyes. Last year we got pounded by Carmel, and the look in their eyes was, all right, what did we do wrong? Tell me how to fix it. And so when we get to one of those games this year, it'll be interesting to see how they respond, because that'll tell you the test. That'll be the test of their character when the games are on the line.
It's a little bit different schedule this year with starting against Tech on the road, but you still have plenty of Murderers Row.
Oh,
after that.
Avon. Wow. Pike. Warren. Center Grove. Warren. Tell me when I get to sleep, because I don't get to sleep.
Lawrence North, who returns 20 of 22 starters.
Talk about the addition of Tech on the schedule and what you expect to see Friday night.
Well, we haven't played Tech, and John would know this more. He probably talked to Jim Pick already. I don't believe we've played Tech since 2006 when Tom Allen's last year. I think we played him in the sectional.
I believe first round.
Is that correct?
I believe that's correct.
Yeah, I'm not. We have not played him since I've been the head coach.
Little trivia question, by the way. We actually won a state championship for our broadcast that night.
All right.
That was Alex Kirby and Keith Serwinski.
Yeah, I talked to Alex the other day. He's doing well. We've seen their scrimmage film. They scrimmage Warren. They got athletes. They returned their quarterback who threw for 1,800 yards. He had a 35-yard touchdown run against Warren. I mean, literally cut, weave, bobbed. He's dangerous. I'm worried about their athletes in space. Just got some concerns. They got some young kids playing. Tony Henderson, their head coach, said that was going to be an issue. He starts four sophomores on the offensive line. Three sophomores on the defense, but he does a great job coaching them. They know how to line up. They get lined up, and they will hit you. So it's a new place for us. We've never been there. Our kids, I've never coached a game at Tech, even when we played them.
It's been 99 was the last time.
Last time. I didn't come till 2000.
I think I was there the 99 game.
And it was
even when I was at Warren and we played them a few times, it just always seemed to be at our place.
And it was the field that night was dirt.
It won't be dirt. They got a nice turf
beautiful
field.
Beautiful new stadium.
Yeah, beautiful stadium.
In fact, I believe Coach Dolahan was trying to avoid scoring 70 points on them that night.
Yeah. 69.
That ain't going to happen.
That's not going to happen. They're much better than that. That's not going to happen. Like I said, they got some kids that scare me. I like their receivers, and their quarterback really scares me. I just think he's a good athlete. Jimmy Gates, I just think he's a really good football player.
Well, as Jeff has alluded to, Ben Davis plays Tech Friday. What's your final thoughts, Coach?
Well, I hope we see good things. I hope we see what we've done in practice carry to the field. And again, that's what we tried to accomplish at Westfield on Friday. I thought we did some good things. I wasn't happy with our mental focus at times, and we've been working on that this week. And we'll see. You know, I'm just hoping we play a good game and we find out who can play, because it's a process, you know. I don't have to be great now. I just have to be great when the tournament comes so I can survive.
Alrighty.
Don't forget to say thanks to Gabby Basham back in the studio.
Yeah, thanks, Gabby, for producing this.
Thanks, Gabby. I don't know you, but thank you.
Well, Ben Davis plays Tech this Friday. We will bring you the coverage of the game starting at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6:15. Thanks for tuning in to Inside Ben Davis Football. We'll be back same time next week, live from Arby's on West 10th Street. Now we're going to send it back to the studio.
This has been a presentation of the Ben Davis Sports Radio Network. Ben Davis versus Pike, sectionals, game one.
Eight, but Pike's got to travel the whole length of the field.
Marshall and Collins in the backfield. Marshall looking to throw. He's in his own end zone. Throws it the way. Giants hit it back into the end zone.
By Jalen Harden, pick six. That should seal the game. Thank you.
Sectional championship, Avon, Ben Davis.
So Kastner and Tate in the backfield still. True Smith in motion to the right. Smith not getting it. Kastner throws down the middle. Completed there. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. As Kastner is able to complete it to Rashawn Bond.
Regional championship. Ben Davis, Warren.
Play clock. Down to three. Kastner with the snap. Looks to throw. In the arms. Unbelievable. And the Giants have taken the lead over the Warren Central Warriors. And I have never seen the field go up like this before.
Kastner is throwing Emerson in the corner of the end zone. Kastner is so happy. Beautiful job there by Kastner. It's Dory Emerson to stay calm there. The whole place is going crazy. It's hard for us not to. Great job there by Kyle Kastner. It's Dory Emerson.
Semi-state, Center Grove, Ben Davis.
201, Kastner in the backfield. Evans going to hand it up right up the gut. Yet again, breaks for another great game. Cuts out to
oh my
right
God.
Side. At the
go.
50. Has another
go.
Ahead of him.
Yes.
At the 30. At the 20. At the 10. Touchdown, Giants.
Oh, my God.
Touchdown, Giants. And they take the lead over the Center Grove Trojans.
Chris Evans has done it again. I repeat, Chris Evans has done it again.
The Ben Davis Giants win the football game 49-45 and are heading to Lucas Oil Stadium.
Lucas Oil, here we come.
And that's going to do it here for your Ben Davis Sports Radio Network. Big trip under center, hands it to Perkins. Perkins up the middle here, and he will score. Touchdown for the Greyhounds.
A touchdown for the Greyhounds. 16-0, about to be 17-0. We've seen this start before from the Giants for the Greyhounds.
So a 16-0 lead. The last time these two teams met, the Greyhounds did a similar thing, going up 17-0. But now Stacy looking to kick an extra point here and trying to make it a 17-0 lead for the Greyhounds. And right now it's the Greyhounds all the way, 17-0 over the Giants. Where is this offense for the Ben Davis Giants?
It's not anywhere to be seen. I don't know if it's dug underground and they have to dig it up and find it, but let's hope they do find that golden treasure of the offense we know that they have, because they really need to get it set right here. That defense is doing just as bad in coming up and trying to stop the run. And looking at the first quarter, it's just been unreal.
And Wilkerson's going to get it at the 1. They're going to let him come out here. Cuts out to the 10. Down the middle at the 20. Tries to go out to the right side. Cuts back the other way to the 30. Now he has an opportunity to go all the way. 40 to the 50. One man left to beat. 40, 30. One more. And he is down at the 25-yard line with a play that almost seemed dead. Ends up going for 80 yards.
And I told you, Jordan Wilkerson is due. The way he's been returning these balls for kickoff returns all night. But that's going to be a spark right here for the Giants. All the way to the Carmel Greyhounds 30-yard line. Jordan Wilkerson brings that type of spark to the game you need right now.
And that may have pumped life into this Giants team for the first time tonight. We see the Purple Rain have something to cheer about. It looks like as if Tate is now checked in. Kastner looking to throw over the middle on the slanted route. Touchdown, Giants! And Emerson with the touchdown catch by Kyle Kastner. Flag is out. Kastner right up the gut with Tate. Tate's gonna break in. Touchdown, Giants.
Yes, baby. Dorian Tate, welcome back to the game. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the 6A State Championship. Dorian Tate, touchdown, and we have a ball game, ladies and gentlemen.
17-13, as the Giants have now scored 13 unanswered points against the Greyhounds. First and goal, back into the jumbo set. Kastner hands it to Dorian Tate up the middle. The package delivered, touchdown Giants.
Dorian Tate for his second touchdown of the night. Welcome back again. Senior running back, didn't play the last two games, caused an injury to the toe, but able to come down and drive it down the throat of the Carmel defense, taking the first lead of the night here, LaVon. Big third down here, you have to score a touchdown to go up by two possessions.
That would be huge for the Giants. Kastner and Tate in the backfield. Shotgun formation. Kastner stands back, quick dart.
Yes! Yes!
Touchdown, Giants!
And Brennan Gillis, 6'7", coming up with a big touchdown again. He's using his basketball abilities there and blocking out the defensive back of Landon Sinis. The Carmel defense, beautiful job there, Kastner to Brennan Gillis, senior to senior. We're at Lucas Oil Stadium, baby.
27-17, the Giants take a 10-point lead, looking to make it an 11-point lead over the Carmel Greyhounds. So now it's going to be a field goal attempt here. Kastner will hold it. And Figueredo is going to kick it. First field goal attempt in quite some time. 19 yards. Figueredo, no, it's a fake. Kastner's going to roll this one out to the left side. He's going to take it. Touchdown, Giants. And just like that, it's a 34-17 game.
And what a beautiful play call. Their gutsy play call. But you have to think, if you don't get it, they're still up by two possessions and in the backfield. And beautiful job there. Kyle Kastner is pumped and just taking on the run. I don't know if that was obviously designed because the snap was perfect.
34-17. Unbelievable.
It very is unbelievable. Are you kidding me? 30-17, trying to make this a bigger game.
The extra point here is up, and it is good. 35-17, the Giants lead as they look for their first Daytona to come home. First and 15. Continuing to run the clock down. They got about 10 more seconds they can waste here.
And the wave is going through Purple Rain.
Smith in motion, hands it to Evans, right down the middle of the field. He might break for one more. Touchdown, Giants! And that is the nail in the coffin.
And yes, sir, that is going to seal it here. Congratulations. The Ben Davis Giants 38-yard rushing touchdown there by Chris Evans, the playmaker. He deserved one there.
41-17. And in about a minute and 46, the Giants will win it.
17-0 early, 41 unanswered points here by the Ben Davis Giants trying to hit 42. And we've seen comebacks. Did you expect, no one expected it to be this big of a game here for the Ben Davis Giants. They were ready.
Kastner takes position, takes a knee. The crowd erupts. And in 5 seconds, it will become official.
2-1.
It's over. The Giants are on top of the world. The Giants are the Class 6A state champions.
Your Ben Davis Giants bring the trophy home. They're the first time since 2002, and we were here to call it. Congratulations to Coach Mike Kirshner and the Ben Davis Football Giants and the whole Wayne Township.
Ball comes loose. Giants have got recovered, and they have.
Welcome to the Mick, freshman. Welcome to the Mick.
Welcome back to the Mick, everyone. This is Mick Talk with your host, Corey Vervinkt. Mick football is back in full swing Friday night as the Ben Davis Giants travel to take on the Titans of Indianapolis Tech. The Carmel Greyhounds will be traveling to take on the Royals of Hamilton Southeastern. The Fighting Irish of Cathedral are traveling to take on the Bears of Lawrence Central. And the Lawrence North Wildcats are traveling to take on the Millers of Noblesville. And the Panthers of North Central will travel up to Fishers to take on the Tigers. And in the final Mick game, Pike travels to Brownsburg in what looks to be a very interesting matchup. This concludes Mick Talk. We'll be back next week with a more in-depth look at this week's matchups, and we'll give an outlook to next week's matchups. I'm your host, Corey Vervinkt.
Well, here we go again. It's the 78th season of recorded football in Wayne Township at Ben Davis High School, and this year's season kicks off at a stadium that's nearly that old. Howard Longshore Stadium in downtown Indianapolis at Arsenal Tech High School. It's the first time the Giants have been to Tech this millennium, with the last visit coming in 1999. Ben Davis and the Titans have only met once since that time in 1999, and that was in 2006. Tonight, the Giants will lace them up for the first time in defense of their 2014 Class 6A state championship. It was the school's eighth state title, but the Giants' first since 2002. Gone are Kyle Kastner, Brennan Gillis, and Dorian Tate. Back are Chris Evans, Story Emerson, and Jordan Wilkerson, among others. Waiting for the Giants is a hungry Tech team coming off a 4-4 season. But they haven't faced anyone of the Giants' caliber since playing Cathedral two seasons ago. 2 years ago, Carmel came into Howard Longshore Stadium top-ranked and won a knee-knocker. Ben Davis is hoping for an easier time tonight. The top-ranked Ben Davis Giants cross conference lines tonight to face the Indianapolis Tech Titans. Live from Indianapolis, the game is next. Tonight's game on Giant 90.9 is made possible by our underwriters, Classic Kings and the Harrison.
It's over. The Giants are on top of the world. The Giants are the Class 6A state champions.
Your Ben Davis Giants bring the trophy home. They're the first time since 2002.
And now, let's go live to the stadium with the WBDG Sports Crew for tonight's game.